as though when you're in a situation and you lose a loved one and you've been We had a very different Christmas, and it was a really lovely Christmas. It was a tonic. It was something that was needed by all of us. But you know, this afternoon, that chorus we sung, "Make me, Lord, a dreamer for your kingdom." It's true what Pauline said. God is very much a dreamer. Because, as we said with the children in the back, before Christmas, we were looking at certain prophets, Haggai and Isaiah, who actually prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born that a saviour would come onto the earth, he would be born. That is vision. Amen. And it's vision and it's dreams that really hit me whilst we were away, and it's what I want to share with you today. Make me, Lord, a dreamer for your kingdom. Plant in my heart heavenly desires. Grant faith that can say, impossibilities shall be. And vision lest the world should perish, not knowing thee. Where does it come from? Well, if you look in Proverbs 29, verse 18. You know, I find, I don't remember a lot of my dreams. I'm not what I class as a dreamer. Some of the best people, the best inventors, are what they call visionaries. They have this idea and they see something and they go for it, they pursue after it, and they don't let go of it. The man who invented Edison, yeah? How many attempts did he have at it? It was thousands, not just a couple, it was thousands before he eventually succeeded in producing it. And you know, you look today, artificial light we have today, and it's wonderful. The fairy lights on the Christmas tree and how people trim their flats or their houses, you know, brightly coloured with all these coloured lights. Proverbs 29, verse 18. It's important you've got vision. It's important you've got dreams. And God tells us this in his words. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, blessed is he. The people without vision perish. And I can relate to that. Because I can remember a time when Philip went to university. And for me, visions and dreams perished. Because for me, it was just living day to day. At that time, even though God was telling me to cast my cares upon him, and even though he gave us promises that he would provide for us daily, I got caught up in the worry aspect of it. And I felt, for me, who had always been a giver, and it was always a pleasure to give, because that was what my father was always like. He taught me the pleasure of giving to others. I found that when Philip was at uni, we hadn't got the resources to give. And for a giver not to be able to give, it's one of the worst things around. And I felt that all my dreams and my visions had perished, died with it. And with it, I felt that for some years after that, I was just going through a fog. I seemed to have lost sight of what God had got for me and got for my family. But I kept standing on the word, even though at times I kept slipping away. And it brings you back, levels you, gets you back on store. And in Acts 2, verse 17, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, there it was pronounced, was it by Peter? Acts 2:17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels. And your young men shall see visions, divinely granted appearances, and your old men shall dream divinely suggested dreams. Church, don't let go of your dreams.
Amen.
I'm speaking from experience here. We all go through it without exception. Every one of us have got dreams and visions. Some of them you might look at them and not think they're very holy dreams or visions, but it's a start. And you should have a list, a wish list if you like, of things. Regardless of what your age is, it says in here, your old men shall dream dreams. Ken, you've not finished yet, kid. Neither of you, Edwin. Neither of you, Ivy or Pat. I'm telling you now. And we know Bill's definitely not finished because he's telling us he's going on. And Joan, she's going to keep baking them cakes, aren't you, lovey? Yeah? But for none of us, our dreams and our visions have not ceased to continue. And church, we've got to keep it going.
Amen.
Even those situations and circumstances, like I found, started to stifle or bury. And you succumb, you know, to some of the things that happen in your life, and it steals some of that desire out of your life. You feel hope disappears. But the thing is, you need to take those wish lists and give them to God. It says God will grant you the desires of your heart. Now, I'm sorry if there's anybody here that's going to get really religious and start saying, well, you shouldn't be started going to God and asking for wishes. Well, it does say he gives the desires of your heart, but is it, what are you chasing after? Are you chasing after those on the wish list? Are you chasing the one that grants those things, the Creator? That's the difference. Why do we struggle at times? Why do they get stifled? You know, it was no big deal to Jesus. He knew, because he told us this would happen. Mark 4, verse 19, if you move to this with me. Now, I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible because I think it puts even better. It clarifies what Jesus is saying here. And at times you feel as though when you're in a situation and you lose a loved one and you've been praying for that loved one to get through it, you feel that it's, well, maybe it was my lack of faith, maybe it was this. You start going into the what ifs. But you can't afford to do that. That's a distraction. It says here, Mark 4, verse 19, then the cares and anxieties of the world, number one distraction, cares and anxieties of the world. We were at somebody's house last night, and you got this woman, and she started going off about the euro and the situation, where it's going to go and everything else. And I just turned around and I said to her, excuse me, but it is subject to change.
Amen.
It says in God's word, it is subject to change. Well, she didn't stay very long after that, did she? The word of God, double-edged sword. The distractions of the age. iPods, computers, MP3 players. The pleasure and delight and false glamour coming along today. We were hearing this country, there's been a sort of a survey done, and they're saying that the young people of today are attracted to alcohol because of the media, because of the adverts on the television. The feel-good factor. God knew all along. The deceitfulness of riches. It's not wrong to have money. But when money becomes the be-all and end-all, then that's when it's wrong. The craving and passionate desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. You've got the distractions. Those are the distractions that come along. Cares and anxieties, distractions of the age, pleasure and delight, false glamour, deceitfulness of riches, and the craving and passionate desire for the things creeping in. They come in many forms and guises, but they come to stop us from growing, to stop us from maturing, to stop us from moving on, from living a fulfilled life. And I want to encourage you today, for goodness sake, keep your dreams alive. Keep them alive. Write them down. One of my favourite scriptures, Habakkuk 2:2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly upon tablets, that everyone who passes by might be able to read it. In your quiet time, as we approach 2009, go before the Lord and say to him, what are the desires of my heart, Lord? You may know some desires of the heart. I know one of Philip's desires of the heart. I know one of Luke's. Write it down. Write them down. Because when you've got them written down, you can just give it to God, pray about it, and then leave it. But when they're going through the tough times, you've got something to look at and think, this is what is my desire. The Message translation says, the vision is a focus pointing to what is coming. Amen. The vision is a focus pointing to what is coming. Now, I wish I'd have done this when Philip was at uni. Writing down what we'd be not in excess wealth, but better, we'd come out of it quicker, and a few other things. But you're always wiser after, aren't you? And that's why I'm trying to pass it on to you lot, right? And when it seems as if it won't happen, and that happens because the distraction of the age come, Habakkuk 2:3 tells us to say, brilliant scripture this, when I can find it. I've got it somewhere. Reminding yourself of the vision. The vision is yet, there is a yet a time to come for the vision to pass, basically. It goes something like that. Oh, here it is. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. This is what you need to speak out. This is what I've been speaking out lately. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. And that's what you need to speak. Take, for instance, Melanie and the boiler. You could have done this then. If I'd have known about this, I could have shared it with you. We could have written that down, couldn't we? That would be a vision, a dream, getting a new boiler for the house, right? Well, I'll put it more sort of what happened for me this week and how this has all come about. And I hope from it you'll glean from it and you'll use it. I can remember some years ago I'd seen a film. And on it was set in Georgian times, and there was a lady sat at a desk, and she'd got a writing desk, a sloping writing desk. And I can remember we went to a couple of houses and old National Trust houses, and we saw one of these sloping desks, and I kept looking, I kept thinking, well, maybe one day I'll get one of them, because I love to write letters. And I thought, it'd be nice if I could have one of those. But I'd sort of been listening to something, and it was saying there, write down your desires. Make a wish list. Put it down. So I've made a whole load of stuff. And on it was the writing desk. Well, Christmas Eve, Daniel's panicking because Philip hadn't bought me a Christmas present. I didn't know this. And I knew there was something, because he kept saying, we were going around some Whitby Jet shops, and he kept saying, well, now, Mum, what about this and that? And I got already the earrings my Mum had bought. And then they've got this Nepalese-type hats, and I sort of said, oh, I'd seen one in Robin Hood's Bay, and I fancied one of them. But nothing sort of came of it. And when we got back from Whitby, we went for a walk, Philip and I. The boys decided, said they wanted to stay behind. What I didn't know was they'd bought one of these Nepalese hats and were wrapping it up whilst we go for a walk. But we'd seen a shop in Robin Hood's Bay, and it was like an antique shop. And I was going to go in that morning just to have a look and sort of inquire about writing desks. What did they really look like and how were they? And I bottled out. I thought, no, forget it. When we went for this second walk, I said, oh yeah, these are these Nepalese hats. Like this. One of those, you see. It's not mine though, it's Luke's. So we went into, we're going for this walk, and I just said, I thought, why not? I'll go in and I'll just inquire. Might as well make a start now. Probably when the boys have left home and married or something like that before I get one, but we'll go and have a look. So we went in. Yeah, he of little faith, I know, yes. So we went in and I started talking, and there were three piled on top of each other. And the chap sort of said, what are you looking for? And I just said, well, I think I know what I'm looking for. It's the writing desk. I've seen it on these old films and I just wondered if you got any. And he said, I tell you what, I'll show you this one. And he lifted up this canister. And there's times in your life when you know you're in a place and you're at a certain point in time, and God's brought you to this place and that God's there. And I thought, there's something going to happen here. And he produces a Victorian writing desk box in mahogany and brass inlay, isn't it? Unfolds it up, and I just looked, I thought, oh, this is it. So he's talking to Philip, and he says to Philip, well, I'll knock you so much off. And I still are thinking, well, I don't know. So we went off and went for this walk again. And Philip just says, come on, we're going to go back. I'm going to put a deposit on that thing and we'll collect it before we go on a Saturday. Well, I have got the Victorian writing desk at home. It was a vision. It was a dream. And it came to pass. But through this one incident, God has awakened me to the fact you've not got to let go of your dreams. Don't let go of your visions. There are things that God's promised you from years in the past. Drag them back up. Bring them back to remembrance. Yeah? We're coming up to 2009. Do you know what the year of Jubilee means? It's the year of freedom. And we're in the years of freedom because Jesus is our Lord and Saviour and we're born again of His Holy Spirit. So, I hope that encourages church. Hang on to your dreams and your visions. Write them down. Speak that word of God. When it doesn't look as though it's coming, Marie, you've got a desire in your heart, Marie. Haven't you? Write it down. Habakkuk 2, verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. And it hastens. Come on, speak it out. Tell the devil you're not going to go into depression and everything else. I just hope, you know, that this will ignite you all for this coming year. Yeah? Stir you up. Stir the gifting up within you. It certainly made a difference. There are other things I've got written down and I'm going to look back again and I'm going to keep praying. That let God make you a dreamer. And for His kingdom, that's just one little thing, but it applies in the spiritual first and then it happens in the natural. Yeah? Okay, thank you, Lord.
I lost it again. Never mind.
You can just go to the top and clear you.
Hello, Zina. I have got a dream. I've had many dreams. My first dream was when I first had my distrustable eyesight, I had this dream and I was down at Craig's. I said, oh, I can see the trees. Oh, I can see the sheep. Who's the sheep? We're the sheep, aren't we? Head over there. I'll tell you, I couldn't talk about Satan because he's hammering me. He hammers all on us. because he's many times he's tried to keep me away from here, but I won't have it. I keep praying to my Saviour. I keep reminding God what he said to me 2 years ago. He's my healer. I keep reminding him. You know, these people say there isn't a God. How that?
Okay.
I went to Scotland in November. People said they're into God. Well, I'm going to tell you this one. The first experience was when we were in Argyll, and we were beside the River Clyde. You know that I'm roaming in the gloaming with the lassie by my side on the bonny banks of Clyde. Like, see the beauty. I want to know who's made that beauty.
Yeah.
Well, we all know who's made it, don't we?
Amen.
God makes it. And I went to Inverary and see the beautiful lakes and the lochs, what they call them. And God made them.
Yeah.
And I went to Loch Lomond. And that's a beautiful loch. But there's some divers there, young kids, they were must be doing some exams. And they were in the wetsuits now, but they were freezing. They had goose pimples on me when I seen them. I did. And you know, I want to talk about Ivy for a little bit. When the breaking of bread, she put her arms around me. And it's the first time I've known her pray. And I feel a lot better for it. Thank you, Ivy. You know, I'm sorry about that, Mike. You know, that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Amen. Praise God. I've got one or two things I want to share, and then everybody else can have a go. But I just got some things I just need to follow on with. You've all got dreams, you've got visions. Well, two of you have. Hello, is there anybody out there, you know? Or are these old cardboard cutouts? Glory to Jesus. I like a noisy church. A church that answers back a bit. At least I've got something to spar against. You know, it's alive. The spirit that lives in you and lives in me is that of Christ Jesus. He's alive. He's on the throne. Hallelujah. And his church should be victorious. I said should be. Come on then. You know, these are the things that we begin to dream about. And you know, Zena talked about your dreams and about your visions that you have. But do you know what stops you most of all from getting your dream and your vision into action? That's fear and anxiety. They are the robbers of your dreams. They are the thieves of your visions. And you have to deal with those thieves, you have to deal with those robbers, and you have to take hold of them and take them captive. And you take them captive and you deliver them over to God for God to deal judgment on them. And then your dreams and your visions are still yet to be fulfilled. Because you don't let them steal your dream. You don't let them steal your vision. You don't let them steal the plans that God has for you. But you hold on to those things and you say, these things are mine. And you guard them with your life. You guard them with the life of the Spirit of God because they came from the Spirit of God. And you, only you can guard your dreams. Only you can guard your vision. Only you can bring the purposes of God to pass in your life when you get involved in them. I can't do it for you. Sometimes I'd love to. There has been times over the 30-odd years that I've been a Christian, I've had young people go around the mountain time after time after time after time. And I think, just do it. Just do it. Just do what God asks you to do. Just do what God is telling you to do. But I'm afraid. That's it. You're afraid. Fear will rob you. And you go around the mountain again and again and again. And if you're not careful, one day you will die walking round the mountain. the children of Israel had an opportunity to go into the promised land. We were watching Larry Boy, weren't we? Talking about Joshua. And they had a promise to go into the promised land. 7 days, and they were there, right on the edge. On the eighth day, a new beginning. The promised land. Cities built for them. Food was stored up in barns for them. Houses prepared for them. Bank balances ready-made. And the people had an idea. It was called doubt, was the idea. Let's send in 12 good men to go and spy out the land. Well, there's a chorus. 10 were bad, 2 were good. Don't you remember that, Graham? Don't you remember that chorus? No, I can't. I'm struggling to remember it, but I can remember that line. 10 were bad and 2 were good. What did it mean in that chorus? It meant that 10 of them came back with a bad report and said, "Hey, guess what? Stand up. Come here. Come here, you. Come over here. Where are you? Here we go. You stand there. You stand here. Here we've got Joshua. Right? And Joshua's the man of God. Put your fists up. Come on. Both of them up. That's it. Yes! Joshua is the man of God, you see. And they go out into the land. And there's 10 more like... No, there's 11 more like Joshua. There's Caleb as well. Come on, Eric. You'll do as Caleb. Be quick. Stand here. So we got two good men, Joshua and Caleb. And they went out into the land and they saw that there were giants. Giants in the land. Ooh. Ooh. And some giants over there as well, look at them. Giants in the land. He said it, not me. He said that, not me. And these giants were in the land, and 10 spies came back and said, "Oh, they've got big walled cities. They've got big giant men that are fighting men, and we can't beat them." And Joshua and Caleb said, "Huh, they're but grasshoppers to us." Do you know why? Because the Spirit of God was in these two men, Caleb and Joshua. And the Spirit of God caused them to look at these giants as if they were grasshoppers. They looked at the situation in a different way. Don't turn the molehill into a mountain. Turn the mountain into a molehill. And see God bring victory over your circumstance and your situation. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. And so these men, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, "We're well able. We can do it." But people listen to the majority. You can listen to the majority if you want outside. You can listen to the news media today. We're in recession, we're in doom, gloom and depression. That's if you listen to them. Well, let me tell you this. God is still on the throne. Heaven's not broke. God kept the children of Israel all those years. They never wanted for anything. God kept them. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. Things haven't changed. Heaven's not changed. Heaven's not broke. And heaven's not dictated by the world politicians. And remember, they're only world politicians. And some of them haven't even graduated yet to that. They're only country politicians. And they're spouting things off and saying things. And you know, God is the God of the universe. And He's the one who makes the final decision on all things. And I just want to encourage you. You know, you've got a vision, you've got a dream, you've got a desire that God has given to you. Dream it. Believe it. And don't let fear take hold of you and drive you down and cause you to shrink from the vision and the purpose that God's given to you. Don't let God steal it. Don't let the enemy steal it from you. God's given it to you. Hang on to it. Speak it out. Write it down, as Zena says, and shout it out. Make a declaration before principalities and powers, and declare before the Lord that you believe in the dreams and the vision that God has given you. You know, God will give you the desires of your heart. Just make sure, one thing you need to be really sure of, money doesn't have you. Like Zena said, it's fine to have money. It's not a problem having money. But the real question is, does money have you? What do I mean? Well, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evils. Hallelujah. You can have money, but you need to be in charge of it. You need to listen to God when God begins to speak to you, to let go what you need to let go of, to give when you need to give, and to bless the people of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I just need to share something else, and then I might sit down. I might. Where are they? I've lost them. No, I've got it somewhere here. I've got some sheets here. And a pile of paper somewhere. Hallelujah. Where's it gone? Are you sat on it? Keep talking amongst yourselves and praising God. Hallelujah. That might be me. That's in me. Thank you, Graham. I'm glad somebody's watching. I've got that many bits of paper. I don't usually have much paper, really, me. If I've got a lot of paper, that means danger. Hallelujah. Have you got time? I've got time, but I never use it. Time uses me. Hallelujah. You know that. I use a calendar, not a watch. Praise God. If you need to stand up and just ease the burden, that's fine, you know. I'll let you stand up and move around a bit. Glory to God. Keep praising God. I just want to bring a need to you right now. 2008. I might get into trouble for this, but that's okay. I am, 2008. I'm still in 2008. It's a need of 2008 that's going into 2009. Thank you. And I say, I might get into trouble, but that's okay. I deal with trouble. Head on. Praise God. But I want to bring this need to the fellowship. And it's a need that I want to just share with you to help you and to help me in the future of 2009. And the need is that Mary and Eric at this time are in a situation where the government has refused them and has got the story all mixed up. They refused her entry at the moment into the country. And there is a threat and a fear and an anxiety of deportation. But we're dealing with that fear and we're dealing with that anxiety and we're standing against it in Jesus' name. Now what also is happening is that the government's refusing to give any money because she's classed as being illegal in the country now. She's been here now for what, 5 years? 9 years. Now she's classed as being illegal. Well, God is on the throne and he's doing great things. But there are some needs. She has rent to pay, she has gas to pay, she has electric to pay, and she has food to buy. Like every one of you, she has those things to purchase and to buy. Many years ago, we had in our youth group, we were able to send out one of the girls for 12 months working on a missions work. And the young people rose to the challenge to give the finance and the support that was needed for 12 months. I was absolutely astounded by what they did. I was, gobsmacked is the word. I just could not believe what these young people managed to do financially. And I just praised God for that group of young people in those days that were able to dig into their pockets, dig into their savings, dig into their what they were given during the, you know, for the week, and just their pocket money, and to give for the in the work of God, to the support of the things of God. And I just bring to you this need of Mary. Now, we reckon that for food, for rent, for gas and electric, there's a need of £320 a month. And I want to put before the church, and you're the church, I want to put before every one of you, even the children, they get pocket money. You know, it's great to teach young people to give. Teach them the basic principles of giving. And God will give back to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I know that as a principle. I have lived my life, my last 25 years, from the giving I have given to God over those years previous to that. I know what it is to give. I know when God tells me to give, I give. I know how to give. And I thank God it's because of the giving that God has led me into over the years. I live the life that I live. Never wanted for anything, because God has never ever let me down. Because the seed that I've sown, the crops that I've put out there.
Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, for teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.
Amen. In the message, it's written that God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone to meet far, everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, making them by baptizing in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. We have a commission, and from the beginning, through the songs and what everybody here have been talking about, our commission is to reach the lost. Make them disciples of Jesus. Help them to know the one who came into our lives, who changed our lives, who transformed our lives, and gave real meaning of the purpose of our lives. And I think the better way to do it is to start by imparting our children. And that's why Zina have been doing, imparting our little ones, our children. It's amazing to see children giving testimonies about Zina. How lovely she is, how they want to be like Zina. If we are unable to be living Bibles to the world, then we're missing the point. And I think Zina has managed to do that, to be a living Bible to our little ones. She sowed that seed. So the kid in this church chose to do something for Zina. Deborah, can you come forth with Paige, please? So the kid please come forth here. put them down. Can you grab Zina's present, go where she is, and say a few things? Give her a hug. Paige, go. Paige. Yeah, you can hug. Zina, just to say that we really, really appreciate not only what you're doing in the lives of our children, but in our lives as well. As your family, we've seen your commitment day after day. You've been a blessing to all of us, not only to the children. But it's good to see that the children are moved and were willing to do something. It's not a gift from us, adults, but from the children. So please accept it from those little hearts, and we all love you. God bless you, Zina.
It was Daniel that really started it all with the kids. And he said, when we got home, he said, "Mum, it needs something structured." And I just said, "Well, we'll see what we can do." And God just took it from there. But, you know, Andrew mentioned that scripture where Moses had a... God, I just said, "Am I doing the right thing, God? Because I did this once before and then it just fizzled out. And I don't want to start something and it just fizzle out again because maybe it's just me doing it." And he said, "No." And it was that scripture with Moses and the rod. And he just said, "I've given you a rod. Use it. You work with kids. Use it." And it's just marvellous to see what God's done since then. You know, I might be the tool, but God is the one that really set it up and put it all together. And I was shattered, I have to admit, when we went away. If we can get the Holy Spirit moving, and that's my prayer daily. Whilst I was away, I was praying for the kids. And I just said, "God, through your Holy Spirit, let's just see these lives transform."
Amen.
They need it in this world. They really do. And I'm just the tool.
God bless you.
And so as we are bonded together, we stand against the wiles of the devil together. And we stand together with a vision and a purpose and a future. And the church, and if you look at the little notes I've given you, and the today, in the church, from the oldest through to the youngest, he's not the oldest in the church, he's the oldest stone that stood up here, is he? You're older than him, all right. Are you older than me as well? Eh? Are you older than me? Oh, he's older than me. Better watch him here. And so, the church is the place where ministries and leaders are born to develop the future of the church. The church only goes forward when the lively stones, living stones, get together. On their own, they're just a brick. When they get together, they form a wall. Get some more, and they begin to form a structure that will stand strong and erect and straight, that stands before the living God. In fact, we'll put another brick in the wall. Bring the big brick. Now then, you see, we're going to build a structure that can be seen by the whole world. And we're going to build it now. Are you ready? Okay, let's do it. Hey? Now we've got something that can be seen, haven't we? Hey? A structure that can be seen. Why? Because we've taken lively stones and the lively stones have got together. And they're bonded together. And that declares the kingdom of God is come this day in the earth to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can pop him down. Thank you, gentlemen, for your help. Wonderful. You may take your seats. So here we've got to develop a structure and a form. The Lord is moving by his Spirit through the church, bringing it back to the apostolic and structure and operation that is needed in the church for it to work. God's incubator for the future is the Church of Jesus Christ. There's a young man here. There's two men here, actually. Stand up, both of you there. John and Mark. Now, many of us know John. Many of us have heard John's testimony. 3 years ago, just over, alcoholic. Gone through tremendous grief and pain and agony in his life. Turned to drink. 3 years ago, he was told, you're going to die. 4 is it now? Praise God. Time goes, doesn't it? 4 years, he was told he was going to die. He found Jesus. And the moment he found Jesus, he found eternal life. He found healing. He found wholeness. And he found salvation. And he's still alive today, causing trouble for the kingdom of hell. And bringing down the doors of darkness. And kicking them in. And bringing light into the dark places. Hallelujah. That's what's happened there. Right? Mark. We met him 2 years ago, nearly. Nearly 2 years ago. On drugs. Has a family. All split up. Broken apart. He kept coming to the bus on Teen Challenge. And one day he made a decision for Jesus. He knew that he could see by looking at the various people, looking at John, looking at Lynn that were there, and Grace, and he could see that there was something about us that was different. And he made a decision to go down to Teen Challenge. He's just come back this last few days, ready to move on in God. But do you know what?
Before we came to church this morning, I was waiting on God and saying, God, what do you want me to share today? And God just gave me lots of scriptures about fear not. And Andrew stole my thunder. But it's just a confirmation from God. God is saying to us, whatever the future holds, don't ever, ever, ever be afraid. Because fear is the devil's weapon. And he will use it to work against you. Faith, even if it's only as small as a mustard seed, is all you need. Because that will move any mountain. So don't ever forget that. Fear not. And have faith in God. Amen.
Yeah, that was about line 4 on mine. I was just working on it. There was an advert. Oh, go on.
God is moving. So's the devil. He's afraid. Yeah. We're moving through 2008 into 2009, and I know we're still a few days away, but God is moving in power.
Yeah.
And God is moving in victory.
Amen.
And Santa here, she's visiting. Bless her. That's your auntie, isn't it? That's auntie. She's visiting, and she said, whilst I was sharing the things about fear and anxiety, it triggered something off. She's a Christian. She loves the Lord. And she says, you know, she wants prayer. The enemy's tried to take her out there and to go, make her not feel well. We believe that Jesus is the healer, the deliverer. He sets the captives free, don't we? Amen? So, come on, we're going to lay hands on you.
It is Psalm 121. And now this came to me this morning. My daughter rang me up and said, the book that you bought Kev, that's her boyfriend. She said, I've been looking at it. And she says, would you believe, Mum, in the front of it, it says, I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I'll finish reading it to you. He will not let your foot slip.
Amen.
He who watches over you will not slumber.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm. Praise God. We're going to finally give.
These are big questions. These are questions I'm asking at the end of 2008. What comes first? What comes first? And it needs to be Jesus. And it needs to be the things of God first. And then the Bible says, all these other things shall be. Not might be, not maybe, but shall be added unto you. God wants you to enjoy life, but God also wants you to put Him first. To enjoy life, you need to put God first. Don't look so sad. Oh, He's taking all my things off me. I'm not. I'm going to enjoy my life. And I am enjoying my life. Guess why? Because I'm putting Jesus first. And it means for you. You've got to put Jesus first. Do you know what? You've a great future. You've a fantastic future before you. But then the only person that can mess it up is you. And that applies to everybody. You have a good future. You have a lovely smile. But do you know? You've got to get in line. You've got to lock into that future with God. You step out of it, you step into trouble. That applies to every one of us. We have to stand in the blessings. We have to follow. The Bible tells us we need to follow God. Follow after Him. Doesn't say it's going to be easy. But He said it's going to be the best way. There will be a burden, but He said my burden is light. But He said I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And don't you forget, you make the decision. You and I have to make those right decisions. And as we make those right decisions, God will honour us, God will bless us. And sometimes it means sacrificing something. Sometimes it means giving something up. I gave up a job 25 years ago. Some people thought I was stupid. Company car. Fantastic wage. I was even told that's all your holidays done with going abroad now, you know. That's it. It's over. I've travelled more since than I've ever done before that time. I've never had as much money, but do you know, I've done more with what I've got. And I don't know how God does it. But you see, my God shall supply all my needs. And God moves in mysterious ways His wonders to perform. Denzel, put Jesus first. Never mind what your friends say. They're not as big as Jesus. They haven't lived as long as Jesus. And they don't know as much as Jesus. Put Jesus first. Make him come in charge. Be in charge of your life. And guess what? You're going to have a great future. And 2009 can be something real special for you guys. We need to keep praying for these kids. I wasn't going to say anything today, hardly. Glory to God. I better sit down, because I know there's lots of people got lots of more things to say. And I just want to encourage you and to bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen? Praise God forever and ever. Glory to Jesus. Yes. Praise God. Well, that's great. We're going to sing a song for Tony. Tony wants us to sing a song.